Welcome to the MBSA podcast series. I'm Tim Murphy, Executive Director and CEO of MBSA. MBSA's podcast series is designed to educate and inform you of news and updates from around the building supply industry. Each episode, we will bring you an interview with an expert member of our industry who is on the leading edge of business and innovation in the LBM world. Today's episode will feature an interview with Rika Brandon of Building Gurus, who is here today to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion in LBM. Rika, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
As we get started, please tell our members what your profession is and what you do for recruitment in the LBM world.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I have been a recruiter in the building products industry since 2001. I started my first company in 2003, and I have, enjoyed the boom, survived the bust, and, continue to ride the roller coaster that is building supplies. And I love it. I fell in love with the industry early. I joke, I grew up on a farm, not in a lumberyard, so I have dirt in my veins instead of sawdust. But I really did fall in love with the industry right out of college and have really made my life helping companies find and hire and keep the people they need. So the first 20 years or so, I was an executive recruiter, really with a strong focus on people who would drive top line revenue or improve bottom line profitability. But early 2021 really shifted and wanted to help companies on a deeper, more meaningful level and also help them get headhunter results without the fee for every hire. So I switched to doing more consulting and training. And I got to say, I feel like my timing was so great because the challenges are so many and so varied. And it's, for me, it's like the greatest problem to solve. And then seeing my clients get awesome results is, it's very, very exciting. So.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to kind of tell you why our collective timing on this issue is rather impeccable. Here at our company, which is an association management company, we manage a number of, our company, by the way, is called Rayburn Group International, or RGI, and we manage a number of global international trade and professional associations. We have a staff of 35 currently, probably soon to be 36. And so one of the things we started about 6 months ago was a kind of a executive blue ribbon commission on the topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which we just simply call DEI.
Yep.
And this particular group really got us started in thinking about what it is that we do, how we do it, how can we be better, and certainly how can we be better than the competition? That's really what we want to, I mean, that's where our focus is. We got to be better than everybody else, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's a big driver for us, because when we're better, then we're better for our clients. And so that's really kind of where our heads are. And one of the things I did is I pulled a definition of DEI from the American Society of Association Executives, one of their authors, and she writes, DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Diversity is the presence of differences within a given setting. Equity is the process of ensuring that processes and programs are impartial, fair, and provide equal possible outcomes for every individual. Inclusion is the practice of ensuring that people feel a sense of belonging in the workplace. Now, that sounds like it's a good definition. It sounds rather academic. And the president of our company, who also happens to be my wife, she and I were having dinner one night, and this topic came up, and she said, let's not get wrapped up in what people's academic definitions of this, their academic definitions of what this really is. She said, I'm going to simplify this. All it is creating a welcoming work environment. That's it.
Yep.
And, for everybody. And so I guess I have to get started.
You're not like your wife. Cut to the chase.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We need to be thoughtful. But yeah, I love it. I think that is exactly the heart of DEI. So.
And so now you know why Leslie and Mike Dykstra get along so well.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to get on my soapbox here just a little bit by saying that, DEI is not a liberal thing. It's not a conservative thing. It's not a political thing. It's not a, what it is, just that. It's simply creating a really welcoming environment. When you do that, Rika, you might be kind of out of a job, because if nobody leaves the workplace, you're not going to be replacing people.
Don't worry. I got tricks in my back to help develop and grow them, because I think that is, I'd love that, to work yourself out of a job is awesome.
Exactly right.
I found a similar thing when I started recruiting. I was starting with inside sales and outside sales reps. And then as my years and years went on, it's like all of my people were getting promoted. And suddenly now it's like my whole world is VPs, and so it was very fun to kind of grow my own career with my placements. So, by the way, I never poached anyone I placed. If I placed them with you, they stayed. I didn't help them leave. That's a swarmy thing to do.
Anyway. Oh yes, that would be bad form, would it not?
It's gross, and it happens. So
I read your article in LBM Journal, and that really struck me, and I distributed it to our entire staff. But your article addressed how you address these issues, I thought was really spot on. And it was done in a very focused way. And it really, I think, helped alleviate fears. I'd like to ask you a few questions based upon that, based upon your research in this issue, which is now in the forefront of, my gosh, I think the business community as a whole, this is really a number one issue that's being formulated today. Yep. So first, why might some companies be hesitant to discuss this issue or formulate a plan?
I mean, we all know it. We feel strongly about things, but we're worried about saying it wrong. We're worried about what people are going to think. If there's like some, and everything gets bigger in our heads than it really usually is in real life, right? And that's where Lakeisha, which I hope we can drop a note to her in the show notes. She really was so helpful for me, because she created a safe space for me to say, like, I want to make sure I'm using the right terms. I want to make sure. And she, one, was super helpful. And she was, a huge part of this column. But it's like empathy, and also just ask. It's surprising how helpful people are if we just ask, or if you say like, hey, I want to say this, but I don't know how. So I think what I want to encourage people is like, yes, you're nervous. And that's awesome, because it means your heart's in the right place and your business brain is in the right place. Because like, there's a lot of business reasons to make these choices. But it is really, I think, on some very, very small levels, they're not aware. I think the reality is most of them are unsure how to go about it. And, as a white female who has been pretty privileged her whole life, I want to be mindful about how I'm showing up about this, but I also want to be an ally. And I recognize I have a platform, and, if I can make it more accessible and easier to implement, everybody benefits. So
I never like to talk about negativity, but I have to inject a little bit in this next question. What might be some negative consequences for not formulating a plan?
Yeah. Well, I think we all know doing nothing often has consequences, right? So some of the things that you want to get ahead of this and not be playing catch up, because you could have an EEOC complaint, you could have a costly lawsuit. And at the very minimum, what's already happening is, we struggle to get awareness of our industry anyway. And then there's some stereotypes we're dealing with. And so we need to be more proactive in saying we are a welcoming space and we're excited. We want to embrace all underrepresented communities. We're a safe place. We're working on it. So I think, the reality is I would much rather advise companies to take proactive action and get in front of it versus face those really expensive PR nightmares like an EEOC claim, a lawsuit. And all the intangible and invisible costs of just not making any effort. So those are the things, we'd prefer to help you catch it before it becomes a crisis.
That's really good advice. In the piece you did in LBM Journal, you outlined a 4 or 5 step suggestion for all stakeholders in LBM to get started. Can you kind of hit those bullet points for us briefly?
Yeah, for sure. And so again, I just want to jump back to like, it's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to be uncertain about what you need to do. You know, feel free to reach out to an expert, reach out to me, and I'll connect you to an expert, because I am by no means an expert in this, but I am a student of it. You know, and the first thing is really to develop a strategic plan. So, you know, step one, develop a strategic plan by really thinking about, we're going to be intentional and mindful about this. We want to make sure that we're reaching out to the LGBTQ plus, the BIPOC and other underrepresented communities. And to start with that, we need to have a little analysis, like, where are we now? It's very hard to learn where you need to go if you don't know where you are. And that can be done by doing diversity awareness studies for your employees, where they're at. And you might be pleasantly surprised at how many of them are eager for you to embrace this. I think there's a lot of people that it is a really important part of them. They have a family, close family member that is in one of these underrepresented communities, and they feel that, and they're excited to be part of the solution. Again, know that it requires courage. It's going to start to feel sticky. You're going to dive in. Yay, we had that first meeting. It was so fun and exciting. And ooh, now we're getting to where the rubber hits the road. And this feels uncomfortable and scary. Like, feel the fear and do it anyway. You are doing the right thing for your business. I mean, it's the right thing to do for an innumerable number of reasons. So feel the fear and do it anyway. Is my number one thing, right? So just hear my voice in your head, like, feel the fear, do it anyway, right? So if you start to get a little nervous. And then I think one of the things that's most important and very intangible, but can be thought through and done, is to really make a space where people can show up as their authentic selves, right? You don't want to have a culture where if somebody is married to a same-sex partner, they don't feel comfortable having a photo of them on their cubicle desk, you know, or like they don't feel comfortable talking about it. When people can't bring their whole selves to work, they're not engaged. I mean, it's just like at that point, it's such a limiting experience for the person and the employee, obviously, but also for the company. Like, we want people, like, everybody's creative, resourceful, and whole. We want to give them the space to show up and do that. So I think that is really recognizing, like, looking at some of our language, like, here's something not necessarily related to this, but it drives me nuts. If you go to Indeed and you search salesman, like, for job openings, there's like 1600 listings. You're like accidentally excluding 50% of the population. And also you sound like you're stuck in the 70s. Like, it drives me crazy, right? So I think some of that is like, oh, we've always done this forever. You might be offensive without even realizing it. You know, I mean, and I mean, over the years, I've had so many people like, I need to help me find a salesman. I'm like, salesperson, sales rep, account manager. We got 37 words we can use. And also, I'm not helping you just find a man. And in our world, I'm not going to lie, lots of times it is a man, right? But we're working on changing it. So anyway, that is, I think, one of those things to really create it and make sure you're being inclusive and celebrating it, right? We may need to do some recovery of, you know, maybe we had a little accidental don't ask, don't tell policy, where now we want to be really inclusive and welcoming, and recognizing different events and holidays is a way to start building that bridge. The number one thing I just cannot stress enough is the fourth step, which is, and frankly, it really should be like step one, but anyway, that's, you know, get rid of toxic employees. You know, if, you know, and I want to throw out a funny stereotype name, but I'm not going to do that, right? So employee X is a racist, or they're homophobic, or whatever kind of, like, I'm better than, they are creating a very non-welcoming environment. They are doing toxic things. They're not only making, you know, the actual targets uncomfortable, but many other of your employees as well. Get rid of them. Like, they're not worth it. I don't care if they're your top salesperson. Like, you will likely find, as anyone who's ever let anyone go, that there was a whole bunch more under the rock that we didn't know. Like, what we thought, what we saw was bad, and then there was so much more. So I just, you know, and I mean, I've been talking about it for a long time. Toxic people, if there is no action for poor behavior, then the good people leave, because clearly you can stay and be a jerk or be, you know, not helpful. So I think that is the one thing where there's some disconnect. And especially right now when it's hard to hire, where sometimes people are keeping a toxic, negative person just because they're worried about being able to replace them. And that is, it's a fear-based thinking, which is hardly ever how we get to be able to grow and achieve the dreams and what's truly possible for ourselves and our company. So those are the four kind of main steps. Kind of advanced bonus is develop a succession plan. And, you know, another thing I'll say is lots of times in our industry, there is women in the C-suite, but they're family, right? So I want to make sure that people are really consciously thinking about that succession plan. And yes, yay for women being included. That's awesome. I'm obviously for that. But also think about other underrepresented communities and making sure at that executive level, we don't accidentally create a glass ceiling. And I mean, there's a fair amount across, you know, the Fortune 500 and stuff where like when we accidentally don't create growth plans for diversity and we don't do things to make it equitable, we're going to struggle to find the ones that are prepared for the C-suite. So it needs to start earlier and it needs to start grooming and it needs to be intentional because it has been not intentional and very just, you know, reactive for the last, well, you know, maybe 50 years in a lot of companies. So those are kind of the five things I would say are kind of the ways to get started making your environment more welcoming. So.
Excellent. How can companies and their leaders start to show that they're an ally and interested in creating a diverse and inclusive workplace?
Yes, I love it. Keep it simple, right? That's what we want to do. So, you know, those steps might feel pretty overwhelming for you. The easiest thing, and I would encourage you, I mean, most of you could get it done within a week if you decided to take the action, is to create a statement. And it should be short, sweet, to the point, basically saying like, we're an ally, we're interested in building a culture of, you know, LGBTQ plus, BIPOC and other underrepresented communities. And it's real simple. And you send it out to your employees. And again, I think you'll be surprised at how much positive feedback you get from that. And then you put it on your website. And for sure, it's on that careers page. I also strongly encourage you to include it on your job postings. And not just as like the bottom, like must lift 20 pounds job description stuff. And then it's under there, right? Like put it at the top. It's something that, you know, will set you apart in a lot of ways. And it'll make you more competitive with the more progressive companies that you're fighting against for talent, like the Amazon and, you know, all the ones that are coming in. So that is really the simplest way. And that statement, I mean, don't overthink it. Obviously, give it some thought, be strategic and intentional about it. But it's not something that takes a month and a half to come up with. It's something that you could come up with in an afternoon, or you could hire somebody to help you really not only come up with that, but work through those steps. And I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Sometimes we need a guide to do new things. So
that is really good advice. Before we go, I'd like to remind our members that you can easily find the article that we've referenced by visiting lbmjournal.com and then clicking on experts and then subheading recruit and retain. And then you'll find it right there. And there's lots of other really, really excellent recruitment and retention pieces there as well. So speaking of recruitment and retention in LBM, I'd like you to tell us about your company. I know we touched on this a little bit in the beginning, mm-hmm. But tell us about your company and how our members might involve you in some of their plans.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for asking. We're kind of doing a lot of things. The last year, like I said, we really started doing more consulting, coaching, training, different programs, and we're somewhat in the middle of revamping it. We have some things that I'm pretty excited about. The best way is to go to buildinggurus.com and look to see kind of what's open, because everything isn't open all the time. We have kind of where we have seasons of what we're doing. The thing I am most excited about, and I think will be interesting to your listeners, is we're doing an assess and advise program where basically I come in and we look at what are you doing in regards to recruiting and in some cases selection. Lots of times right now, it's like we just need more qualified candidates to choose from. And so I come in and assess like, hey, this is working. Whoops, you have a giant hole here. And then I advise. So it's a combination of me working with your team for about a half day to really understand what's happening, what's going on, what did we used to do, but we got away from because nobody has time, you know, all that stuff. Right. And then presenting it to the executive leadership team just to say, hey, this is what you're doing and this is how we can do it better. So I'm pretty stoked about that, especially, as we go into the end of the year and launching 2022 to really help companies understand what they can do to change their results. And as you know, I've been a recruiter a long time. If I tell you to spend money on something, it's because you should, not because it's just a tool. We do a lot of stuff. We're pretty frugal on the back end of the recruiting side. And it can be so much easier than people think. I think that's my wish through the column with LBM Journal and coming on podcasts is this is not as hard as you think. And we can actually have a little fun when we're doing it too, right? So yeah, thanks so much for asking. But yeah, going to buildinggurus.com is a great way. And the assess and advise is kind of the thing that has my heart right now. I think it's going to make a huge difference in at least 10 companies for the next year.
So. Excellent. Well, Rekha, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I know that our members are going to find this to be a very valuable experience. Hopefully I can have you on again when it comes to having a discussion about recruitment and retention.
Hey, absolutely. I'd love to join you anytime. I got lots of thoughts on this.
Excellent. Well, you have a great day and we'll be in touch soon.
Thanks so much.